Well, I'm just going to go ahead and say it right off the bat. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. You know, I'm telling you what, since the time that I was saved, I have messed up so many times, and I have fallen so short. And even, you know, at the age of seven, Alan even mentioned it in Sunday school this morning, the night that I realized that I was lost, the night that I realized that I didn't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Do you realize that even at the age of seven, when I realized that and I became of the age of accountability, from that time on, I was accountable for my sin, and I would have died and gone to hell had I not become to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm glad for the blood of Jesus Christ that has taken my sin, and it has been covered. Not only covered, it's been washed away. It's no longer going to be remembered against me. When I stand before God one day, I'm going to be pure, I'm going to be white, and it's not because I live good now, it's not because I don't make mistakes, it's not because I don't sin, because I do all three of those things. But when God looks at me, He sees the blood of His darling Son. He was willing to give His life on a cross for something like me, for somebody like me. I'm one of the hardest people in this world to live with. I'm one of the worst people in this world. I know the thoughts that go through my mind, but I'm so thankful that even though God knew that He was willing to give His Son's life for me. It's been covered by the blood. It's gone, never to be remembered against me again. Man, I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to Galatians chapter number 6 is where we're going to be taking our reading from this morning. Man, if you don't feel something from the Spirit of God this morning, you might want to check in with Him. You might want to be sure that you're listening. You might want to be sure that your relationship is right with Him. Hey, I'm going to tell you, maybe you're here this morning and you've already realized, because the Spirit of God is what's going to reveal things to you. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be my preaching, but it's the Spirit of God that's going to reveal things to you. And you might be here this morning, you might already feel that little feeling in your heart. You might already feel that feeling on the inside that you know that things are not exactly right between you and God. You might be sitting here and you might be saying, well, preacher, I remember getting saved. I remember asking God to come into my life at some time or the other, but you know what? My life has drifted way away from God. I've tried everything that I know to do, and man, I've searched for God, and I want to live for God, but man, this world has a pull on me, and I just keep bouncing back out into the world. Hey, I want you to know that God hasn't given up on you, that God has not went anywhere, that He is still there with outstretched arms. He is still saying, come on, let's get into fellowship. Let's get that relationship right. Don't wait. If God's speaking to you right now, come on right now. You don't have to wait for an invitation. I wouldn't take a chance on missing an opportunity to get things right with God. You might be here this morning, though, and you might be saying, preacher, I really don't know what you're all excited about. I've never experienced that salvation. I want to tell you what, you get you a dose of that, and this world will mean a whole lot less to you than what it does right now. You get you a little dose of Jesus, and you'll want a whole lot more of Him. Amen. Before this service is over, I pray that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you'll either come to this altar, you'll find somebody in this church that you trust, and before you leave here today, you'll be a child of the King. You say, well, it's easy for you, preacher, because you tell us that you was in church 9 months before you was born, that you've been raised in church, and man, all this stuff is so easy for you. No, it's not easy. Living a Christian life is not easy. But I'm going to tell you what was easy. It was easy for me to realize that I had things in my life that I was going to be accountable for, and that Jesus Christ paid that price for me. And all I had to do was say, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. That was simple. You can become a Christian today just believing that Jesus Christ gave His life for you, that He's willing to forgive you of your sins, and He wants to be Lord of your life. It is that simple to pray a prayer and say, God, forgive me, a sinner. Hey, you know what? The thief on the cross didn't have to do anything but believe. You know, he wasn't baptized. He wasn't anything else. He said, God, I believe. And He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It's very simple to be saved. I got to get into the message or I'm going to preach the wrong one. It'll be just fine with that. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank and we praise You for all that You do for us. God, I'm so thankful to be in Your presence this morning. Good to be here with my church family. God, I pray, dear Father, that You'll just continue moving in our service today. God, I pray that You'll take this message. I pray that You'll speak to other hearts the way that You have mine. God, I'm thankful that even though that these messages and Your word, the Bible tells us that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts coming and a going. God, I know that this one cut me, and God, I pray that You'll help us, that even when You cut, God, that You're doing it for our own benefit and help us to get our life in line with You. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Galatians chapter number 6, we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. Brethren, look, Ladies, don't think that you're out on this just because it says brethren. So let's say brethren and sistren. There you go. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, kick him while he's down, talk about him, tell your neighbor, gossip about him, request prayer for him, but you're really talking about him, and lest thou also be tempted. Is that what your Bible says? No, that's not what my Bible says either. The Bible says if a man be overtaken in a fault, or if you want to put that in what we would say, brethren, if a man be caught in sin, in a fault, ye which are spiritual, ye which are walking with God and talking with God and seeking God, restore him. It don't say anything about kicking him. Don't say anything about talking about him. It don't say for me to come to you, Jeremy, and say, brother, we really need to pray for Brother Lynn because he's sinning and it's terrible. It's just awful what he's doing. He probably really is, and we probably really do need to pray for him. But so many times we as Christians, we start out with holy. Let's pray for this brother because I'm going to talk about him for just a minute, and I need to seem holy while I'm gossiping about my brother in Christ. Hey, I want to tell you something. We shouldn't stand around and let people talk about our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not going to stand around and let you talk about my family. I'm not going to stand around and let you badmouth my brother. I mean, I'll pick at him and carry on with him and tell you about how mean he was. But if you get to really badmouthing my brother, I mean, we're going to stop this conversation before I get mad. But why in the world will we stand and let people talk about our brothers and sisters in Christ? And before you know it, we'll join in if you're not careful. Let's move on. Considering thyself, it says, ye which are spiritual, restoring one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, be real careful or you'll fall into the same thing that he just fell into. If you think that it can't happen to you, you just hold on. Hold on to that thought and we'll try to restore you when you fall into that temptation. Because I want you to know that any of us are capable of doing anything at any time. You catch us in a weak moment, you catch us in the right place, and we get tempted and tested and tried. Any of us are capable in our flesh of doing anything without the Spirit of God leading us in our lives. Verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. It's pretty plain right here that I'm nothing. Without Jesus Christ on the inside of me, without his Holy Spirit indwelling me, that I'm nothing. I'm glad that really and truly I'm not nothing this morning because the Bible tells me I'm a child of the King now. You can talk about me all you want to, but my daddy's the King, so you just get over it. Verse number 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. But before I get any further, I want to give you an example. I have two fellas sitting here this morning that said, how in the world are you going to work that in tomorrow's message? And I really didn't know how I was going to work this into this message and didn't know that I was until just a few minutes ago. But, you know, I don't know how many times I have sat in the bleachers at a ball game and badmouthed a coach. Y'all have never done that. No. If your kids played ball and you've never talked about the coach, bless your heart, I need some counseling from you, okay? But I don't know how many times I have said in the bleachers and I have badmouthed the coach. That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. What in the world is he thinking? He don't have a clue what's going on. So yesterday I got to coach our little softball team and we went out and really there's some of our players that's here with us this morning and they'll just have to take the truth and swallow it and it'll be okay. But I really expected us to go to Charlotte yesterday and get it handed to us. I really expected us just to get run over all day long. And our girls went down there and played awesome. They ended up in the semifinals in the championship game and in the tournament in the gold bracket. So proud of them. I couldn't help it. But I was wrapped up in these games and after one of the first game, we ended up going into the extra time. I don't know why there's a time limit on softball. There should never be a time limit on softball. That is a game, an all-American game, and you should play it till somebody wins. Blood and everything else, it don't matter. Somebody should win when we get done. But we got this time limit thing going on. Well, the time expired, and when the time expired, our team was up 1-0. So we had to go an extra 15 minutes. And at the end of this 15 minutes, it's drop dead. So in other words, at the end of that 15 minutes, game over no matter what. It's finished how it's finished. But if you don't finish an inning during that 15 minutes, then it reverts back to the inning that you just finished. Kind of confusing, ain't it? It was so confusing that at the end of the 15 minutes, the other team had scored. They had actually scored a couple of runs and was beating us by the score. But when the time ran out, we hadn't finished the inning. So it reverted back to the inning where we was up to 1-0. So at the end of the game, the umpire is showing me the score, and he's saying, here, I need you to sign right here. And I said, I don't understand. That's not the score of the game. He said, yeah, that's the score of the game. And I'd had all this going in my mind. I was lost. I was absolutely lost. And I was sitting there, and I was arguing with an umpire that was trying to tell me that we won a game, and I was trying to tell him we lost the game. How stupid is that? I looked at him, and after I was still confused when I signed the paper. I said, whatever, man, here you go. He's trying to give me a win, and I'm going, no, we didn't win. I mean, it was stupid, absolutely stupid. So when we got to the next game, and I got him out there, and I said, look, man, I said, the next time that I come to you and I'm arguing with you and I'm trying to tell you that my team lost when we actually won, I said, how about just telling me to go on shut up? He said, well, when I walked out that gate right there, I called you a name that I won't say from the pulpit. So sometimes we look at other people and we're always trying to look at their faults and their failures. And then when we get in that same circumstance or we get in that same spot, we realize that it's not as easy as what you think it's going to be. It's not as cut and dry as you think it's going to be. And here the Bible's telling us, don't judge other people. Don't always just beat them down and bash them. Get down there with them and help them back up in a spirit of meekness. Verse number 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Real quick, for just a few moments this morning, I want to ask you, what are you sowing? What are you putting out? Because the Bible teaches us here, let's read this verse again. Verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. See, it seems weird how that sometimes that we're praying and we're asking God to change something that we put into motion a long time ago. Because the Bible tells us clearly here that God's not mocked and God's not a liar. And we know and we should know that if we sow to our flesh, if we invest more time, we invest more money, we invest more effort into the things of the flesh and the things of the world than we do the things of the Spirit, then we should not expect just to reap all of these spiritual blessings and for the things that we've sown into the flesh just to disappear. We shouldn't expect for God just to do some kind of miracle and just wipe out what we have spent our time sowing. We shouldn't expect God to say, you know what, you have been living like this and you've been doing this and you've been putting all of your time and effort and finances into the world, but I'm just going to pour out spiritual blessings unto you. Because we really like the scriptures that talk about God opening the windows of heaven and pouring out blessings. I love that scripture, pouring out more blessings than I can ever have. We really like for us to think about God having his hands on our life and God just blessing us in every aspect, emotionally, financially, spiritually. We want God to bless us, but how much time do we spend sowing to the Spirit and how much time do we spend sowing unto the flesh? See, my son, he come to me a few weeks ago and he's wanting to start a garden now. We're going to start a garden now. Sort of the wrong time of year to start a garden. The only time garden you start now is a food plot so you can shoot them pretty little deer standing in the middle of it. Amen. But Silas, he wants to start a garden, and I may try to find somehow or another for him to start a garden next year. But see, I feel like what me and Silas would do, because I was going to start a chicken farm one time. I wanted to have some hens laying some eggs there at the house, and I had a little coop there at the house, and I went and bought me 3 roosters, and I never did get the first egg. I don't know how that happened, but I never did. It was amazing. It was supposed to be a rooster and 2 hens in this little crate. And I bought them. I brought them home and turned them loose. And my grandpa come by the next day and he said, you got any eggs yet? And I said, no, I hadn't. I said, but I just got them yesterday. And I said, somebody told me I need to go get some laying mash and we'll feed them chickens some of that. And he said, well, the first thing you knew is to get you some hens is what you need to do first thing. So I'm telling you, I mean, I was raised on a farm, but some of it's just kind of, whoo. Anyway, Silas, he wants to start a garden. And I have a feeling what me and Silas would do if we started the garden is we would go out there and I'd say, Silas, what do you want in your garden? And he really don't eat that much vegetables, so I don't know what he would want to plant in his garden. He just wants to see something grow. But I have a feeling that he would say, well, I want some watermelon. And I want some tomatoes, and I want some cucumbers, and I would want some hot peppers. And let's put this in our garden. And we would go out there, and we would sow our garden, and we would get everything. We would prep it. We would get everything right. Everything would be awesome. But see, then I could see my son coming to me and say, Daddy, you know what? I really don't think I want watermelon now, because I like cantaloupe better than I do watermelon. And I could see me and Silas going out there for weeks on end, and me and him getting around that little row where we had planted our watermelons. And I could see us even getting Autumn and the girls to come out there with us, and let's all join hands around this watermelon. These seeds have been planted. They've been in the ground for a few weeks. It's too late now to plant cantaloupe. But we want cantaloupe. And God, we know you can do anything, so we're all going to get here, and we're going to join hands around this watermelon seed that we've planted. And we're going to pray, God, please, we want you to turn this watermelon into cantaloupe. God, we know that we've planted watermelon in this ground, but God, we know that you can do anything. God, we know that you can work miracles. God, we know that anything is possible for you. And night after night after night, I mean, we're going to be very persistent with our prayers. We're going to be very fervent with our prayers. And while we're doing it, we're going to claim, God, we know that you're hearing our prayers. We're going to claim, God, we know that you can hear us. And we're going to continue to stand around these watermelons. And we're going to continue to pray, God, give us cantaloupe. God, we want some cantaloupe around this. God, I pray that you'll take, I know that we messed up and we sowed the wrong seed, but God, would you please give us cantaloupe? What do you think we're going to reap out of that garden? Watermelon. When it comes time for us to go out there, and I'm going to have to say, Silas, you know what? I'm sorry. I know that you wanted cantaloupe. I know that you really like cantaloupe better. I know that even after the time had passed that you even began to pray, and I know that you wanted some cantaloupe, but you want to know what, son? We planted watermelon, so watermelon is what we got. But yet we as Christians, we go out here and we spend all of our time and our effort to advance ourselves in the world. We spend all of our finances out here in the world. We spend our time going to work, and I believe that a man should work, and if you're some of you women that are working too, I believe it's awesome that you work and that you're providing for your families. I know that the Bible tells us that a man that won't work shouldn't eat. I understand all of that. But I want to tell you something. We'll spend 40, 50, 60 hours a week at work. We'll do everything that we can to advance ourselves in the world. We're sowing in the world, sowing in the world, sowing in the world. And then when things happen in our lives, we come and say, God, I want you to take the effort that we've put in the world, and I want you to make it a spiritual blessing now. We spend everything, all of our effort. Hey, any given week, I spend somewhere between 40 and 60 hours at the office, whether it be at the office or working from home. And I work and I work and I work, and it's so important to me, and I want to pour everything I've got into that. But how much time am I spending sowing to the spiritual things that I need to be sowing to? Oh, that hurt. That hurt. Because I don't care. You can go out here and you can sow to the world. You can go out here and you can be partaking in the world. You can be doing all of those things. And then when you need God, he's not going to just magically turn your watermelons into cantaloupe. But he said, I'm not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We spend our time as parents. And I'll say for me in particularly, I spend my time investing in my kids. I want them to be the best softball, baseball, basketball, volleyball players that they possibly can be. And we'll go over to the Civic Center and we'll work and we'll invest. And there's nothing wrong with that. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. I'm not preaching against those kinds of things. I'm not even preaching against working and investing in your time at work. I'm not preaching against that whatsoever. But what I'm saying is if we pour 100% of ourselves into those things, then we shouldn't expect for the spiritual blessings just to come right back out of that. We shouldn't expect, if we're going to sow to the world, we shouldn't expect for everything that's a spiritual blessing to just come right back to us, because he says, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When my kids grow up and it's not as important to them to go to church, and it's not as important to them to pray, and it's not as important for them to seek God in their lives as it is for them to see how good they can get at a sport, or how much time that they can get into their office, or how much financial security that they can get. You want to know what that's going to be from? That's because I have sown that into their hearts. It's going to be because, you know what, how much time do I spend sowing to them? Son, daughters, please be sure you read your Bible every day. Please be sure that you read and you study and that you talk to God and that you seek God in your lives. How much time are we spending sowing that into their life compared to what we're sowing of the world into their life? Amen. I'll amen myself right there. God, help me. Where are we investing that? It would be so silly to think that we're going to plant something in a garden and ask God just to magically change it from a watermelon to a cantaloupe. But how many times in our lives do we invest in the things of the world? How many times do we invest our finances, our time, or whatever, and then we turn around and say, God, but I want you to make my family so spiritually strong. How much time am I investing in making my family spiritually strong? How much time am I saying, God, I want you, hey, Silas is going through, and not really, I'm using this for an example. Silas is going through something right now. Man, he's got around some friends that he don't need to be in. This is completely example. But if you are, you better listen close. He's got around some friends that he shouldn't be around. He is getting an influence of the world. There's, hey, can I just go ahead and say this? That we as Christians sometimes, not here, thank God, but we have made God such a do and don't and a religion and a not fun thing that when the kids get out here in the world and they find something fun, that it sure does pull strong on them. Because we've made church humdrum. We've made a relationship with God humdrum. Hey, don't be afraid, as Sarah said this morning, let your hair down. I let every bit of my hair down when she said that, and let's worship. We need to worshiping God needs to be fun. Now, I tell my son all the time, son, I want you to be successful. You don't have to go to college, but you need to find something that will make you successful. You need to find a trade. You need to do something. And I'm continually pumping it into him. Son, don't be lazy. Son, be responsible. Just do what you're supposed to do. If you'll do what you're supposed to do, what you say you're supposed to do, it'll take you a long ways in life. But sitting around playing that video game is not going to do anything for you. Son, this is a good time to parent because he can't backtalk. Son, I need you to invest. Do it. And I'm pushing that on him, pushing it. But how many times do I go grab him and say, come on, son, we need to go pray. Come on, son, we need to go read. Come on, son, we need to invest in our spiritual future. Because I want to tell you something, when it's all said and done, I don't care if he makes $1 million a year. If he makes that and he's the most famous person in the world and he already thinks he's going to be the next LeBron James, I don't know where he gets it from, but he already thinks that. And one day, if that really happened and his dream come true and he's playing Major League Baseball or NBA and all that come true, and that's wonderful, I want to tell you something. It's not going to mean a hill of beans when he stands before God. What's going to matter is his relationship with God. But you know what? This is where God gets me. Which one am I sowing to? I take him to the gym, and I drag him to church. But we spend more time at the gym, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Please don't take it that way. But what I'm saying is, which one do we sow more to? Which one are we sowing to? Are we sowing watermelons and praying for cantaloupe? Turn with me real quick. Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm going to be done right here. Which one are we investing in? So many times, you know, we want to talk about cause and effect. We want to tell our kids, yeah, you should have known if you done that this is what's going to happen. But then we as adults, we turn around and do completely opposite. And we say, we know we did this. And we know that the effect of that is this, but we really want this outcome over here. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 13. And the first few verses of Hebrews chapter number 11, this is the faith chapter, the hall of faith, if you will. You can go back and you can read about the people who had faith in the Bible. And man, let's look in verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. In other words, these were Old Testament saints. These were Old Testament people who had faith in God before Jesus Christ ever came. And he said they had to look at these promises afar off and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Wow, we forget that, don't we? We forget that we're just passing through. Can I say that the things of this world becomes too important to me sometimes? Can I say that getting a phone call from my corporation saying, man, you had a record month. Man, your sales are awesome. Can I tell you that becomes more important to me sometimes than it should? I should be working more. I should be doing more, investing in my spiritual side so that people are calling me and saying, you know what? The other night when you come seen me at the house, God spoke to my heart, and I realized I need Jesus Christ in my life. Would that not be so much better of a phone call than, man, you hit record sales? Hey, if my bosses are watching, I'm going to keep doing everything that I can to be sure that we're successful. But you know what? There's got to be a balance there. of I'm going to invest here because I got to. I'm part of this world. I am in this world, but I'm not of this world. And I need to invest in my spiritual. Let's keep reading. Excuse me, verse number 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And surely if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Hannah, if you will, come on, please. Get ready to sing for us again. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Look what that says right there. For God is not ashamed to be called their God. Man, Alan touched all over this this morning in Sunday school. But I want you to think about your life right now. You know, I pick at my son a whole lot. They'd be the next ones in line. I love my son so much. There is nothing that could ever change my love for my son. And my daughters too, but I'm using him for an example right now. Don't leave him out. But there is no possible way, absolutely no way in this world. I like Joe Barr. I love Joe Barr. Joe Barr's a good man. Okay? But there is no possible way that I would let anybody come in here and take my son and drag him outside. I wouldn't even let him take a punch for Joe Barr. Surely I wouldn't let him put him on a cross and crucify him. I wouldn't let him spit on my son and beat my son and drive nails through his hands and his feet. I would not let them do that to my son for Joe Barr. And I love Joe Barr. Joe Barr's good. He's a good man. But you know what? God loved us so much that even when we were vile sinners, he allowed somebody to do that to his son for you and I. You know what? If that did happen, so let's say Joe had a debt, and somebody said, the only way we're going to forgive you of that debt, Joe, is if we take the preacher's son and we beat him. We're not even going to kill him, but we're just going to beat him. And I said, Joe, you know what? This one time, I'm going to let this happen. Take my son and beat him for Joe's debt. Joe, you should have paid your debt, and I don't know why you didn't, but take my son and beat him. I'm going to tell you what. When Joe comes back to me next week and says, you know what, Josh, I've messed up again. I've got the same debt. They're going to have to beat Silas again. I fell right back into what I did. I'm going to say, tough luck, Joe. Have a good one. I'm going to do the Christian thing. I'm going to pray for you, Joe. But you know what? We got a God in heaven that loves us so much that when he seen my sin debt, he was willing to let his son come and give his life on a cross, knowing that next week I was going to be in the same sinful situation, knowing that, not needing to be saved again, but I'm talking about that I was going to fail him over and over and over. And look what he said, I'm not ashamed to be called your God. Man, God loves us so much. I'm so thankful for a God that loves me past my faults and my failures. I'm so thankful for a God that'll look at me and say, Josh, you're investing in the wrong places. You're sowing to the wrong thing. You're going to reap what you've sown, so you might want to change the seed that you're going to sow. Me and Silas plant a garden. We're going to buy the right seed. We're not going to pray for our seed to change. I want to encourage us as Christians, we might need to change what we're sowing. We might need to change some things that we're doing. We might want to sow a little bit more to the spiritual side of our life. But even in doing that, and even knowing that we're going to mess up and we're going to buy the wrong seed sometime by mistake, I'm glad that God loves us so much that he says, look, it's paid for. It's covered by the blood. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just one moment. Preacher, I'm here this morning, and through either a song that was sung or just through God's Holy Spirit speaking, I've realized that I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I want that in my life. I want forgiveness in my life. I want to know what it is to experience that relationship with God. Would you pray for me? I don't know that I'm going to come up there today. I don't know that I'm going to get saved. I don't know that today will be a day that I can do that because, man, it's tough. But preacher, will you just pray for me that God will give me the courage? Would you just slip up your hand? All I'll do is pray for you. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I've been saved. I know without a doubt in my heart that I've asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. But through God's word, I realize I'm not sowing to the Spirit. I'm not sowing enough to the Spirit. I'm investing more into the world, into my flesh, than I am my spirit. Would you pray for me? Just slip up your hand. I see hands all over the church. There are hands all over the church. You're not alone. Hey, if I could raise both of them and both my feet, I'd raise all of mine. You can put them right back down. I see your hands all over the church. God, help us that we take your word and we're now doers of the word and not hearers only. God, I pray to your Father, dear Lord, as you'll help us today, God, thank you for speaking to our hearts. God, thank you for showing me some things in my life that I need to change. God, I pray to your Father that you'll help us to sow more to the Spirit. God, I pray to your Father, maybe if there's one here today that's lost, God, and they couldn't even find the courage to admit it, God, I pray that you'll just continue to speak to them. God, we as Christians, as we're here today, God, I pray that you'll help us. God, I pray that you'll draw us. God, I pray that we'll get our relationship right with you. God, help us to get our minds right, that the things of this world are not as important to us. God, we want to thank you most of all. We want to worship you and praise you, that even though you knew who we are and who we're always going to be, that you were willing to give your son for us. And in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. As you stand to your feet, Hannah's going to sing one of my favorite invitation songs of all time, Just As I Am. And just as you are, God will take you just like you are, and he'll change you into what he wants you to be. This altar is open if you need to come and talk to God. If you want God to help you to start to sow more to the Spirit and less to the flesh, come ask him for help. He'll help you. If you're here and your relationship's not right with God, this altar's open. Come and talk it over with him. You don't have to tell me anything. Amen. Thank you for your attendance, for your attention. Thank you for being here this morning. Look, I don't need anybody. I can done see it coming. I don't need anybody to start teaching me the difference between a rooster and a hen or watermelons and cantaloupes, okay? We're going to be all right. I'm telling you, sometimes what I tell on myself, Lord have mercy, I just ask for it. But thank you for being here. If you're here and you're visiting with us for the first time, thank you for being here with us, and we truly invite you to come back with us anytime that you can. If you've been here ever twice, you're family. If you ever need anything, slip someone there beside of you. Let them know. If you need special prayer requests for something, let somebody know. One quick announcement, or maybe two. I guess you could count it. I have a sign-up sheet in the back. We have several that are wanting to have a baptizing and It's hard for me to say baptizing. Baptism, baptizing, whatever you want to call it. So if you're here and you know that you have been saved, you know you're in fellowship with God, and you want to be baptized, there's a sign-up sheet for that back there. We'll plan it. We'll try to give you enough time so you can let your family know to be here. And there's also several new babies in the church. And I've had two or three come and talk to me about having another baby dedication service. So there's a sign-up sheet for both of those things back there in the back. Man, how blessed we are for God to be growing our family from the inside and from the out. Man, we're blessed here at Fellowship. Let's keep going on for the glory of God. Who's the lucky? Shane Davis, who you dismiss, word of prayer, please.